Thank you, Grace. Don't you think Grace was very brave to stand up in front of the whole church and do the youth thing? I sent her a WhatsApp this morning. Grace, Tabila is sick, toothache, swollen face. You have to do this. You have to slay Goliath in church. I think she slayed, don't you? I think she slayed big time. So, yep, there at the door, on the right-hand side there, there's some lovely term planners. Take one, put it on your fridge at home. Let your parents know what we're doing. It's cool and epic, better than big people's church. It's really, really awesome. So we are making sure that we understand what it means to be a disciple. And so it's interesting that what we're going to do over the next number of weeks, even as was previewed down in church, is to get an idea of what it means to be a disciple. How that a disciple is word-based. How a disciple is prayer-filled. How a disciple is Christ-centered. How a disciple is spirit-empowered. How a disciple is socially responsible. We care about it, right? How a disciple is mission-minded. Maybe by the time July comes, June, July, and we're off on a mission to Botswana, you'll be already saying, that's me. I want to be part of that. And a disciple is leadership empowered. Don't wait until you're old and gray like me and you've maybe got 10 more days to live. Do it while you're young. Be a leader. Lead where you are. And a disciple is and always is connected into the life of a local church, and we'll end off with a review Sunday with lots of food. I think that's going to be the best Sunday. So, welcome to the Disciple Series, but firstly, what is a disciple? Turn to the person next to you and ask them, hey, what is a disciple? And see what they say, and then tell them what you think it is. So, I'm going to spring on Grace. If Grace can come back. The return of grace. Put your hands together for the return of grace. She shared something this morning in our time of prayer about us, and it came out of John chapter 1 or whatever, and about us being God's children. What did you share with us as a team this morning?
Okay, so I said that God, in you know, John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning God, there was God. No, there was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. I think so, yeah. So, what I said, as it goes on, it describes how God brought us out of the light, brought us out of the darkness into the light, and how when we believe in Him and we say He's our Lord and Savior, we have the right to be called His children, right? So, when we are disciples, we're not only disciples, but we're also His children. And let's say you're your father's daughter or son, and when you're his son or daughter, you abide by what he says. And so it makes it easier because it's done out of love. So to be a disciple is then easier because you're his child.
Woo! Put your hands together for Grace. We are God's children, so we reflect God. I mean, and so when we think about what it means to be word-based, I want you to pause and say, hang on, if I have given my life to Jesus, if I have received Jesus as my Savior, I become His follower. It's not like following someone on Instagram. Now, I'm sure Shayla has the coolest Instagram account in this whole room, but just if I follow her, that's not the kind of depth of following I'm talking about. I may follow Grace on Facebook or Instagram, but that's not deep enough, is it? Because when I follow Jesus, I'm not just, oh, like Jesus, I like him a lot. No, I want to be like him. I actually want to change my whole life into his image. So I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I'm looking to follow him step by step. I want to be asking myself, what would Jesus do now? Where would Jesus have gone? If Jesus was me in Johannesburg, at Delta Park, at Parktown Boys, at Hyde Park, wherever school I am in the week, I would be saying, I want to do what Jesus would do. Because I'm not just a fan of him, I'm a true follower. I'm a disciple. I'm an apprentice. I'm trying to be like him. You've seen those pictures where there's a little child walking behind its dad and like walking in the footsteps and trying to kind of be all cool and like the dad. Now, obviously, you mustn't dress like the dad if you're a high schooler. If you're a high school girl, don't dress like your mom. That's just weird, freaky, okay? You can still look unique and be yourself, but in terms of values and attitudes, you are going to be like Jesus. And so, first quality today is a disciple is word-based. And here's what we're doing. We're not going to say everything about this today. This is going to be what you encounter in 4 or 5 years of your high school journey. Some of you, who's got 1 year left of high school? Who's in matric? Who's got 2 more years left? So you've got 2 years for us to accomplish this. Who's got 3 years left? Yes, who's got 4 years left? Yo, long time. But it's going to go quick, I hope. Who's got 5 years left of high school? Yeah, okay. So you've got a lekker journey with us. Okay, so it's not going to be over in a day. So where we're going with this is that we are going to unpack this over the next couple years. There's an amazing verse. One of the first verses I ever committed to memory is Psalm 119, verse 9 to 11. It's 9 to 11. 119, verse 9 to 11. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? One translation says, how can a young man keep pure? Or how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to the newspaper. No, your word. When I live according to God's word, I stay pure. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. And I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. When God's word is in my heart, I don't sin against God. In the front of my Bible, which is 35 years old this year, in the front it says, this book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. But this book will keep me from sin. Because when I put God's word in my heart, now don't eat the pages at breakfast. Don't rip it up and put it with your cereal. That could actually make you sick. But when you put God's word in your mind and your heart, it makes a massive difference. Now, let's be real. Let's not be like the adults sitting down in church, just nodding and everything. I want you to answer this question at your table. How has the Bible helped you in your faith journey? As a human, as a follower of Jesus, as someone who's grown up maybe in a Christian home or not, how has the Bible helped you? Think about that for a minute and be honest. Go. So each Sunday, whoever facilitates here is going to introduce you to a Bible character who we feel best reflects this characteristic in their lives. And today, it's about David. Okay, David's story is found in 1 Samuel 17, the particular part that we're going to look at today. It's pretty epic. It's PG-15 for head choppings, but I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Epic, eh? I wonder if I was there that day, if I would have stepped up and said, I will fight him. But there was something about David. There was something about this young guy who stands there hearing Goliath taunt the Israelites, mock the people of God, challenging someone to fight. No one's volunteering. I don't know if Jonathan really did half volunteer there, except this young guy, David. And up he steps. Can you imagine feeling like you're an ant next to this massive, big giant of a person? Shepherd boy. But there's something different about David. He has this relationship with God. Not only does he end up writing many and most of the Psalms that we read, but David is a young guy who knows God, who's connected to God. He has this courage to face Goliath because he has faith in God. And where does faith come from? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. When I read God's word, I'm filled with faith. David had this relationship with God where God was speaking into his life. And he approaches with a sling. I hope you don't mind, but I drew some pictures this week because I had a lot of time. And I thought I'd try and capture what actually happened. And despite the incredible odds, I mean, dude, look how small he is. He kills the giant. I don't know how many giants you've killed in your life, but with the word of God in your heart and life, not only can you kill your giants, but you can actually slay them once and for all. Let's just say that after that, Goliath wasn't getting his head put back on. It was over, and a massive victory happened for the Israelites. I reckon this guy David knew the word of God. He had the word of God in him. I mean, it's interesting that in this Bible series version, they actually have him quoting scripture as he walks forward. You know, Psalm 23, which we know David wrote, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In the presence of my enemies, you set a table before me." God is incredibly able to do so much through us, but until we have faith, until the word is in us and lives in us. So here in this 5-year journey, or however many years you have with us, here's what you're going to come to know about the word. You're going to come to know that the word of God reveals God. That in this book, I find God, I find an accurate picture of who God is. This book builds faith in my life. When I read positive things about who I am, it allows me to put aside negative things. It moves away from negativity to positivity. When my life is impacted by the word, my life is transformed. It's not the same, because there is power in the word of God. We're also going to learn during our journey that these are the attitudes that we're going to have, that the Bible guards me against sin and the Bible guards me into righteousness. It's not only about what I don't do, and the Bible's pretty good at showing me where I'm going wrong, but it also guards me in the paths of righteousness for God's sake. That comes through the word of God. So those will be our attitudes. But our relationships with people are going to be shaped by the word of God. I'm going to have a different kind of relationship. I'm not going to see someone as an object, because the Bible tells me God lives in you. I'm not going to use and abuse you. I'm not going to blue tick you, because I care about you. And the Bible says you have worth. So when I see a message from you, I'm going to respond. No blue ticking. Can we agree to that? Yeah, boy, yes. Okay, amen. The girls are saying yes, yes, yes. And I'm going to also share the word with others. So when we call you into a weekend, end of May, lead the cause, and we're going to be in four ways for the weekend, driving backwards and forwards for incredible youth conference and training, you're going to say, I want to go to that because I want to be equipped to share the word of God. And lastly, I want to challenge you today that you consider creating a habit of reading the Bible. Maybe just one chapter, maybe just one passage. This very same book, 30 odd years ago, I started in the first page, and in 2 days I read it from cover to cover. So if you're ever bored and your computer game's not working and you're not there to kill people in a computer game, why don't you consider reading the Bible? I wouldn't suggest reading it cover to cover when school's on. Teachers can be quite narrow-minded, right? But start. Maybe you've had a good habit. I know Debbie and I last year were doing the 90-day Bible reading. It's a lot of chapters, between 16 and 18 chapters a day. Don't start there. Maybe just a short passage. It's time, maybe, to blow the dust off that book and say, this Bible, this book, this word of God is not going to live in me just if it parks on my bedside table, right? I'm going to need to get into it and read it. Start in the New Testament, maybe. Start with Psalms and read it every day. And we are going to hound you on that WhatsApp group. We're going to remind you this week, hey, have you read something today? Because it will shape your relationships. It will guide you into paths of righteousness. It will bring you confident If you think you can't do something, get into the Word. And if David could defeat Goliath, I don't think there's anything that can overcome me in life. Am I right? The odds that were stacked against him are a lot greater than the odds stacked against you and I. He could have said to himself, if I miss with the stone, he picked up 5 stones. I don't know if the boy thought that he was going to maybe miss 1 or 2 and hit with a third, but that Goliath was coming. If God didn't guard that stone first time into Goliath's forehead, David would have been struggling. I don't think he could have arm wrestled him to the ground, you know, and got him in a throat lock or something, even if he was an MMA guy. So what will your response be? Think about it for a moment. What can you commit to do this week to let the Bible be at the center of your life? Whether it's that electronic version, which most of us use more nowadays than a paper version, whether it's actually getting out that paper Bible, that youth Bible, that study Bible, bringing it to your bedside, saying, last thing before I go to bed, maybe I'm going to read a chapter, or first thing in the morning, or in that afternoon before I do science, biology, EMS, bit of the Bible, it will make a massive, massive difference. A disciple is word-based. If you call yourself a disciple, you have to be word-based. If you're not, if there's not a growing hunger for the Word, then you must question, do I really know Jesus? Have I entered into a relationship with Jesus where I've said, I want to be your follower? Jesus was a person of the Word. You should be too. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you that you have made us your children. That the moment, Lord, we turn towards you and say, Lord, thank you for what you did for me on the cross, that you bought salvation for me. I don't have to earn my salvation, because actually sin can't actually be erased by good deeds. But the only way that I can find you as my Savior is to realize that you paid the price for my sins, so that anyone here, everyone who trusts in you, has eternal life. And maybe even this morning as I close, as we say this last prayer, maybe you're not sure if you've ever become a follower of Jesus. It would be crazy for me to follow on and not say, let me help you cross the line and become a follower. And all you need to do right now, if you say, I'm not sure I'm a follower, here's what I'm going to ask you to do, is to consider praying this after me. Let's say this together. Dear God, thank you that you provided a way to make me your child. When I was not born a child, when I was a sinner, you sent Jesus to die for me so that I could be your child. And right now, I receive the free gift of eternal life through Jesus. And I will never not be your follower or your child. And I will spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you prayed that, you are now a child of God, and you will never not be. It's that simple. It's like a transaction. You've done it. You didn't pay money. Jesus paid with his very own life for your life. If that was the first time you did that, come and speak to one of us. Speak to Auntie Debbie, speak to Asher or Grace or Ethan, any of the leaders in the room, and they would be very excited to encourage you and lead you forward. You committed to read the Word each day. We put your cell number on that WhatsApp sign-up sheet on the cork board so that we can add you to the group. You won't get 1,000 messages. Just don't blue tick us, and it'll be awesome. Next week, there's always a next week. It is all about, next week is all about being prayer-filled as a follower of Jesus. So God bless.